Welcome to Faith Football Friends. I'm Chris Elrod here with the apologist Forrest Animaceris and the theologian Cole Parsley. We're going to get started today with a little discussion about the coronavirus and how it has impacting everyone. So here's what I want to know from you first, Cole, and then Forrest. How terrified are you of the coronavirus?
I'm chilling. I work out. I eat healthy. I'm a bit of a young gun. So I don't think it's going to impact me too much. But I am terrified of how the coronavirus is going to impact our society and the ones I love.
Okay. Interesting. So, Forrest, what about you? How scared of the coronavirus are you?
Not too scared, just from the things I've read, you know, from a personal perspective. And I think a lot of people are doing a lot of nice stuff to try to mitigate any super catastrophic effects of this pandemic. You know, that's why everything's canceled, just so it doesn't spread super fast. And so I think, you know, we're kind of ahead of the game in that way. So, but yeah, definitely, you know, praying for those who've already died in America and those who may be at the greatest risk for sure.
Yeah. So we want to kind of now discuss, I believe, some ideas, because there's several ways that this relates to us in our Christian walk, relates to us spiritually. And so we kind of just want to go through some of those ideas and some of the ways that we can be reminded of our faith and our relationship with God through this experience with the coronavirus. So would one of you like to begin talking about those different ways?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. Jordan Peterson, as y'all know, I love this guy. He talks a lot about being the right person. He wrote 12 Rules for Life. He gives all these rules to which if you go by them, you're going to live a better life. You're going to be a better person. Part of his motivation for that is he says, when you're at a funeral, when it's your family's funeral, say your dad passes away and you're amongst all your siblings, you want to be prepared to be the type of person that can hold that family together rather than what happens a lot of times where families just start arguing with each other because they're grieving and they're worried about all sorts of different things. So in my mind, the Christian needs to be, you need to be prepared with this coronavirus, with the insanity that's going on in our society, to where you can hold things together and be that type of Christian.
That's a good point. You know, like, we don't need to be shaken so greatly that, you know, we're doing irrational things by this. You know, we need to, there's a level of which we need to just trust in God and know that God's going to take care of us. But of course, there is a sense in which we want to be responsible for our health, and we want to be responsible for the health of others. Forrest, would you like to elaborate on that point?
No, I think Cole brings up a good point. You know, there's an awesome opportunity for Christians to let their light shine in situations like this and be the kind of person who, or be the kind of people who, you know, when everybody else is consumed by fear or trying to run the other way, they, you know, stay and help. And doesn't mean they're like reckless or anything like that, but they're willing to just love their neighbor as themselves and to not let kind of the mass hysteria that sometimes goes on during these things, you know, turn them into somebody who cannot be counted on.
I think that's a great point. You know, we've got to be loving people in this at this time, because, you know, I mean, like, love is supposed to be our identifying characteristic as Christians. So we definitely need to be showing love for people who are experiencing this difficulty and this tragedy. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to allow fear to outweigh our common sense. You know, like, stores in Murfreesboro are running out of toilet paper. It's like, what? Like, why? You know, and I remember whenever Forrest, who's, you know, you grew up in Florida, whenever you were living in Tennessee, you started asking me why anytime it snowed, people were talking about going to the store to get bread and milk. It's like, why is bread and milk so important when it snows? I don't know.
Makes
why
no sense at all.
Why is toilet paper so important when the coronavirus is here? I don't know. But
makes no sense.
You know, so as long as our common sense does not become overpowered by our fear, I think there is a great opportunity for us to show love to people who are in need, and to, you know, just show the peace that we have, a peace that passes understanding, by serving God and by just being able to trust in God and being able to, you know that God is going to take care of us.
Yeah, I'd like to point out or bring to everybody's attention, what message does it give? Say, if you're a Christian, the listeners listening, say you're the head of your household, you're a Christian, at least you confess that. What message does it give to your family, to your neighbors, to your, you know, long distance relatives, when you are freaking out or acting anxious in this time period? What message does that give versus cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you, right? Or the peace that transpasses all understanding. I just think as Christians, you have a great opportunity to show that peace that you have, or to work on trusting in God more so than maybe you already are.
Yeah, when Sean Palmer, he's a preacher I follow like on Twitter and stuff, and he said, this is a quote from him, he said, "I don't have the first clue how to personally respond to the coronavirus, but I do suspect that buying all the Lysol and toilet paper in the store is a strange way to love your neighbor." Mm. You know, like, it doesn't really give the right, message.
That's a great point. You know, it's like, hey, I love you, but I'm going to take all the toilet paper and all the Lysol for myself. Sorry. Yeah. You know, it's like
that's more than you would ever need.
Right. Yeah. We have a lady who stopped by the church building earlier today, and she said that she told our secretary this, and the secretary relayed the message to me, but she said that someone came to Dollar General where she works and bought $200 worth of toilet paper.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That's a lot of toilet paper. Like, oh my goodness.
If things ever get that bad, man, I'm just going to be washing wash rags, right? I'm not going to buy all of Walmart's toilet paper. I'm going to go find a leaf or something. Come on.
Yeah, no, but it is a little crazy.
See, Cole's a guy that loves his neighbor.
Yeah,
in the truest sense.
I try to. I'm going to give this illustration. I'm going to brag on my father-in-law. We go to Pizza Hut and eat at the buffet a lot. And this poor Pizza Hut, there's hardly any pizza out there. And the room's full. There's like one waiter. I don't know what's going on. It's Sunday. You know, people come from church and they want to eat. Anyways.
That's every Pizza Hut I've ever been to. Just
dude, I swear, don't go to the buffet at Pizza Hut. I'm sorry.
It's but rough.
As soon as one pizza, they don't bring out three pizzas. They bring out one pizza. Dude, people just flock up there. And my father-in-law will get in the back of the line and just be like, you know what? It's not that important. I'm hungry, but so are these people. You know, he's not taking seven pieces. Turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered, whenever you got married, Cole, that Pizza Hut was so busy we couldn't go there. We ended up going to the Mexican restaurant, I think, instead. But yeah, that's wild. But no, that's a great point. You know, like, letting others have the needed supplies, you know, and especially if everyone would just use a little common sense, like, you're going to be fine, you know, and like, everyone's going to have enough, odds are. But at Forrest, I think you were about to make a point, and then we started talking about Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
Okay, well, sorry I brought that up.
No, I'm sorry.
y'all want me to go ahead and talk about Zwingli?
Yeah, I think it'd be good, Cole. Give us some historical perspective on this.
So Zwingli, was part of the Reformation movement. It was around in, say, the 1500s, when the Black Plague, am I saying this right? The Black Plague or the Black Plague?
Plague, bro, come on.
The Black Plague. Words are hard, man, I'm telling you. Youth group used to make fun of me for that. Anyways, the Black Plague was around, and that was sweeping through, you know, Europe, the known world, taking out like one-third of the population. Well, Zwingli decides, this preacher, this reformer, he says, for Christ, I'm not going to run away from this disease. I'm going to help those who have the disease. And so he stays, he's helping people, but then eventually he catches it, you know, big shocker there, and he almost dies, but he lives. And I think that is that's a great message, not to say that we have to do that, risk our lives in such a way, but I think that's a pretty powerful example he gave us.
Yeah, I watched a video, I think just yesterday, I'll put it in the show notes. This guy was talking about not Zwingli, but Calvin and some of his preacher buddies and stuff, and kind of the system they worked out to take care of people during the plague. And there was also, I forgot exactly, we'll post the video. There was like a 3-part mini sermon they would tell people when they visited them and they had the Black Plague. And I think the first one was like, you know, just remember Christ has overcome death and this is something that is going to be temporary for you and all this other stuff. And the second one was like, you know, salvation in Christ, just talking about how even if you die from the plague, you're like, you're still saved, just reassuring people who have, you know, put their faith in Christ. And then the third one was about sin, because I don't know about you, but like whenever you get sick, like you really do start thinking about your own sin and you start like confessing stuff and like just crawling out to God because you're like, this might be it, you know? And but I thought it was interesting, but there is definitely something unique and transcendent in the Christian view of death that really shows up during times like this. And it's not that like you're cavalier and you want to put people in danger, but you see death for what it is, and that is an enemy that God has really already defeated but will ultimately defeat pretty soon. And it's not something that like controls your life, the fear of it, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. You know, like we can be at peace with this because we know of where we are going, you know, because we know that we have put our hope and we've put our trust in Jesus. And so we know that he's going to deliver us from sin, and we're going to be able to overcome death in the same way he overcame death. And like, that's such a great blessing, you know, that this world is not my home and that I am just passing through, as the old song says. So I think that's a great, great point. And it's a great reminder anytime we're sick or anytime we're going through anything difficult, you know, it's just nice to be reassured of the fact that this life is temporary, you know, and that it's not necessarily supposed to be all enjoyable, you know. That's something you've helped me learn for us in some of our discussions about anxiety and stuff, is, you know, life isn't supposed to be perfect. Like, never has anyone ever promised us in God's word that life is going to be everything you ever wanted it to be, you know. And even people in the world wouldn't say that, you know, life's going to be perfect and that, hey, you can have everything you've ever wanted in life if you just work hard. Like, no one says that, you know? So I think there's a lot of peace in knowing and remembering that, yeah, this life is going to come with its trials, but God is going to use those trials to make us better, and God is going to deliver us from all trials one day. We just have to be faithful to him. I think another thing that this coronavirus can help us maybe is to reactivate our prayer life. You know, because as Forrest mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, we definitely need to be praying for those people who have the coronavirus, those people who are at high risk to catch the coronavirus, and it kind of hurt them a little worse than it might someone, you know, in their 20s. You know, those young children and those elderly people, you know, we need to definitely be praying for them, because their life is at most danger because of this disease. So that's definitely an important thing for us to remember.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is everyone going to get the coronavirus, or is it just like, I don't know, 1/3 of the population?
First there's no way to know that.
What?
Secondly,
in China, what happened?
Before you ask questions.
In China, when it swept through,
yeah,
did
no,
everybody
not,
in China get it, is what I'm
no,
saying.
No, not everybody gets it. It's something like, so if somebody...
The virus. Like,
there's like a contagion factor from the data we have, and I don't want to spread false news, but I'm pretty sure it's like 2 out of... So if somebody has it and they contact 10 people, 2 of them will get it, for an example.
So 2 out of 10, you're saying?
Essentially.
Okay.
But it does have an effect too. But that's why they're trying to, like, limit contact and everything, because part of it is, you know, you could have it in your system for like 10 days and not show symptoms yet, mm-hmm. and you might, you know, contact a bunch of people and then they get it and whatnot. So we're trying to, you know, obviously that's why everything's shut down, trying to limit it. But not everybody's going to get it. And if, even if everybody did get it, some, you know, 80% of them would recover.
Yeah. And I know they describe it as it's kind of like being, having the flu. And I had the flu, as y'all know.
The flu is rough. I've heard. I've never had it, but I've heard it's pretty rough.
Lost like 4 pounds in a day, so.
That's intense.
But
I didn't mean
sorry,
to
Chris. I didn't mean to offend you by asking a question. I forgot those aren't allowed, you know.
No. And I only said that. And as soon as I said that, I felt bad. And I was like, well, do you think before you say anything, you idiot? But that was what I was saying to myself. But I didn't mean for that to come off as rude as it probably did. But we also had that relationship where we can shoot each other straight. So we definitely want to use this as an opportunity to pray more and just to trust in God, because thankfully not everyone is going to catch it, not everyone is going to get it, but those that do catch it are definitely going to need our prayers.
Yeah, and I would say too, like, sometimes, and we were talking about this, you know, there's definitely a middle ground here. Like, some people are so scared that, like, they're not even going to leave their house for anything. And that's really, like, keeping them up at night. And some people are so cavalier about it that they're putting others at danger. And you really don't want to be either. You know, not that I'm not saying, like, I'm, like, an expert or anything. I'm just saying, like, you know, somewhere in the middle where you have a healthy understanding of what's going on and you don't want to put others at risk, but you're also not allowing fear to consume your life.
Yeah. That's a difficult place to walk, you know, and to find like the middle ground is often. But I think that's a good point. You know, as long as we can just, again, use good common sense to let our fear overpower our common sense. And I think we'll be in good shape.
And I will say real quick, not to psychoanalyze anything, but both of those are defense mechanisms. Like, you think the Superman syndrome of, like, saying it doesn't bother you. Like, that's not real, usually. Usually you are scared, and to compensate for that fear, you act like you're not. So, like, both of them are just different ways of reacting in fear, but one, the result is, like, shutting down, and the result of the other is just acting as if it doesn't even exist.
That is so true, and I'm thinking about people I've been seeing on Facebook who are laughing, you know, laughing this through, like, ha-ha. Nobody knows. This is, you know, a scary thing. We got our faith in Christ, but it is a life-changing thing. We have loved ones who are older, who are not the healthiest. That is scary. And so it reminds me of haunted houses. You ever go to a haunted house with some people, there's always the tough guy who's like, oh, I ain't scared of this. Like, dude, you better be scared of this. Michael Myers is about to jump out.
No, that's a great point. Like, and we're by no means trying to downplay what's going on here with the coronavirus. You know, like, we definitely think it's an issue. We definitely think it's a big problem. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we wanted to draw it to everyone's attention. Not like we're the first people to let you know about this, but just to help you see the applications that can be drawn with our faith, and that can help us maybe think about things in light of God's word so that we can be stronger and better Christians. I think my favorite example is my favorite thing that I've been thinking about is the coronavirus is such a big problem, absolutely, and it is something to be a little afraid of, you know, like, because there we do have loved ones that it could affect, like Cole just mentioned, but, you know, thankfully not everyone is going to catch it, but there's problems in the world that people are going to catch, you know, the problem of sin every single person is going to catch, and the mortality rate is way more tragic than the mortality rate of the coronavirus. And so, you know, the problem of sin is such a larger problem, and we need to be focused on it just like we're focused on the problem of the coronavirus. So just something to think about, something to chew on. We hope that we've given you some ideas and maybe some thoughts so that you can relate to the coronavirus a little better. Thank you for listening to the faith portion of Faith Football Friends. We hope that you'll stick around and listen to our football section and then our bring it to the table section as well. So thank you for listening. Welcome back to Faith Football Friends. Welcome to the football portion. We're going to talk a little draft action. Guys, what are you most looking forward to about the draft? Whether you're talking Titans, whether you're talking Broncos, whether you're talking just overall first pick, whatever it may be, what are your thoughts? What are your excitements about the draft?
I'll go ahead and start. There is, obviously, I want the Titans to draft this guy. But if they don't draft him, I'm going to be following him because he is a stud. This is who I'm thinking is really going to be a guy to watch in the future. And that is Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. To put that in comparison, Chris Johnson many years ago ran a 4.24. Somebody actually beat him, I think. Do y'all know who that was? What was his name? Was it Perriman?
No, wasn't it?
Somebody beat Chris Johnson.
Not Davis. It was like the last couple of years. They either beat it or they were a fraction of a second off.
Let's see. John Ross, 4.22.
Ross, that's right.
So 4.22 was the fastest ever 40-yard dash. Isaiah Simmons has a 4.39 40, but here's the catch. He's 238 pounds. 238 pounds.
Pretty heavy.
Running that fast. This man can not only catch Derrick Henry, which not a lot of people can do, but he can tackle him. He doesn't have to just go for his legs. And he's at the linebacker position in a pass-heavy league. This guy's going to be something special. I mean, maybe I got to imagine he knows how to play football to get to this point in his career. But sometimes the stats don't always pan out. But if you just look at his numbers – these are incredible numbers. Looked at one mock draft. They said he was going to go number 3 to the Bengals. But, man, I would love it if my team traded up for this guy. And he's going to be fun to watch, for sure.
Really? I thought the Bengals had the first draft.
Oh, wow.
The first pick.
Not the Bengals. Maybe it was the Lions.
The Bengals definitely have pick number 1.
It's the Lions. Yeah, it's the Lions. I'm sorry.
Got your stats confused there.
But, man, dude, this guy's going to be good.
No doubt. Yeah, it sounds like a real beast. I'm excited. You kind of led me into my point. What I'm most excited about for the draft is just John Robinson magic, man. Dude always makes something happen. General manager of the Titans. You know, I'm excited just to see what he designs or draws up for us. You know, is he going to trade up for someone like Isaiah Simmons, or is he going to trade down and get several picks in the third and fourth round? You know, I don't know. It will be interesting to see how free agency plays a part in that as well, who we might trade away, who we might give a pick for, you know, and things like that as well. So I'm excited to see how that all plays out. But, I mean, really, he has done such a good job drafting players. You think about the players that he's brought in, Kevin Byard, A.J. Brown, Jayon Brown. Like, there's so many. I could just keep on going. Players he's drafted who have turned out to be really, really good football players. So I'm excited, man. The dude makes his money drafting people, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where all these quarterbacks are going to go. Because you have – I mean, it depends on which mock draft you look at. But you really have 3 to 4 first-round quarterbacks, which I know there's almost like a curse when you're first-round quarterback.
At Marcus Mariota.
Sometimes, like, they're rarely as good as you think they're going to be, unfortunately. But, like, it is exciting. Like, this is a quarterback-driven league, you know. Like, there's no way around that. I'm excited about that. And then, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, like, Peyton Manning was a first-round quarterback.
Right. It's not always true.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are good examples of guys who were good. Peyton Manning, John Elway, others. both played for the Broncos. Coincidence. Yeah. Another thing I'm excited for, as a kind of as a football nerd or geek, whatever, I don't know, is how many good offensive linemen are in this draft. And that's something that, like, it's not flashy, not a lot of people care. But, like, if you don't have a good O-line, you don't have a good team. Like, there's no two ways about it, you know? So I'm really hoping that the Broncos can get – I mean, they're saying that with how stacked this draft is and those kinds of positions, I mean, you're going to get a guy who would be, like, a first or second round lineman in, like, the fourth or fifth round just because there's so many of them to go around. So I'm hoping that teams who need it will get it, you know?
So this is a heavy offensive line draft?
Yeah. Yeah, good. Offensive line and wide receivers. Like, the wide receivers in this draft also is insane.
Which, that's what I'm excited about, because it is flashy for the opposite reason. You know, like, I'm excited. Like, I'm hoping we can get another really good receiver, because I think that would kind of complete the Titans in a lot of ways. And I've also heard that it's a deep draft for cornerbacks. So the cornerback position, you've got a lot of really good cornerbacks, which is another thing I really want the Titans to get. So I think this is going to be a good draft. This is going to be a really good 2020 NFL season. So I'm excited to see what happens.
The, I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the, CBS Sports latest mock draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has the Titans. Well, I'll start with the Broncos, 'cause that's my team, has them drafting Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama. He was like the star wide receiver for all of Tagovailoa's career. Yeah, he's great. And I hope they get him, because with our new quarterback, we'll need that. But I want to get you guys' take on this. I know we're trying to diversify our portfolio, but still it says that the Titans are going to draft Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State.
In the first round, pick 29.
And this is the guy that was shocking people at the draft.
He's that good?
Nobody expected – no, at the combine. Nobody expected him to go in the first round until the combine. And he just, like, went off. Yeah.
See, I think the combine for quarterbacks is the most important. When was Patrick Mahomes taken?
What, like, pick, like, four, I think?
Was it first round?
Yeah, first round.
Oh, so people thought he would be good. For some reason, I thought nobody thought he would be good. So, never mind.
The tragedy in Mahomes' draft is that Mitch Trubisky was picked in front of him.
That's right. Okay. That's why I was thinking that, because he was picked later.
Yeah.
It's a hit or miss at quarterback. And so, I mean, I feel like not a lot of SEC guys are even that good at quarterback when they get to the NFL level. Peyton Manning, you could name some more, of course, but a lot of it is just, can they throw the ball? Are they accurate? Do they have a good mind?
That's true. And that, which granted, like, I feel like the LSU quarterback, he's going to be good in the NFL, I feel like, you know, but, or that he'll at least have a good couple of years. You know, I think it's hard to predict whether or not someone's going to be able to have a long career in the NFL. You know, that's different, but I think his game will translate well. But to your point, it's because he's a good deep thrower and he's accurate, you know. And I think, because I definitely think that's the keys, is how strong is your arm and how accurate can you be throwing it.
Well, and the system they ran at LSU last year offensively was an NFL system,
right?
Like, it was literally ripped out of the pages of the NFL. It wasn't like a college special thing. So if anybody's ready for the NFL, it's him. And he just happens to be an amazing talent, probably first pick.
Yeah. Forrest, if you could have anybody in this draft for your Broncos team, who would it be and how would you get them?
Yeah, so this is going to sound really dumb. I want us to get Tua Tagovailoa just because – just purely because of, I'm going against what I said earlier, but just like because of PR, like it'll make you relevant. Even if he's trash, it'll make you relevant. You know what I mean? Like everybody will be talking about it.
Will he fall to y'all? What pick are y'all?
Probably not. I think we're the 12th pick. No, pick 15. There's no way he would fall to us. But keep in mind, he has that hip injury he's recovering from and couldn't even work out at the combine. So some people are saying he might fall, but the Dolphins, I mean, how long can you hold on to Ryan Fitzpatrick? You know, like, you got to do something.
Yeah. Every time I hear someone talking about the draft and they get to the Dolphins and they mention Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's like, oh, you know, they're definitely drafting a quarterback. like there's no respect there whatsoever. Right.
But, dude, he has shown flashes, man. This is Fitzmagic. He just ain't had the right chance.
But here's my problem with that. He has continually showed flashes, but nothing flashes. You know, like...
Yeah. I mean,
but that's also what makes him the perfect, like, pinch hitter. Like, for one season or to come off the bench.
Oh,
like,
he's a great backup.
He's clutch enough to win you games you shouldn't win, but not consistent enough to win you games you should. Like, he's right in that, like...
Yeah.
Paradoxical, like, he's going to shock you and let you down at the same
time.
Both
ways. He's going to shock you in both ways. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I'd be okay if he came back to Tennessee and was our backup. But so I'm still kind of holding out for Marcus Mariota to have that role. No, it's a long shot, though. But I just found another mock draft that has the Titans taking an offensive tackle. And this is with the theory that Jack Conklin would leave in free agency. And so that would make sense, you know, to do that. My problem with the quarterback thing is why? Like, why do they think that we won't come to terms with?
No, that's not the assumption. Like, so the overriding philosophy in a draft is if you can take a good quarterback, take him. Like, it's the most, even if he never plays for you, it's the most, you know what I mean? It's like buying the best stock you can, even if you're buying less of it, so you can trade it down the road.
Yeah. I guess my theory was that we could just get someone later on, you know? Like later in the draft.
Yeah. No, that's true. And you want to develop somebody.
Right.
But if they feel like that guy's a steal.
And if he's a steal, then we will. And that's why I'm saying, like, I just trust John Robinson. Whatever he does, I'm going to believe that it's the right decision. Like, when it comes to the NFL draft, I have a lot of faith in my boy Jay.
No, that's a sermon illustration right there, man.
He really has been phenomenal.
He hasn't made many mistakes, really. You know, he didn't draft Marcus Mariota. So,
who do you want in the draft, Chris?
I don't know of any players specifically. That I want that linebacker you were describing, who's too good for us to get probably because of our number. Yeah, he sounds great. I'll take him. But I would be cool with any wide receiver to just kind of help AJ Brown out, because I think the Texans have kind of demonstrated the power of two wide receivers who are really good in Hopkins and in Fuller. You know, like whenever they're both playing, it's like you're in trouble. You know. And
but by
so
saying
I
that, you're admitting that you don't believe in Corey Davis anymore. Like,
I mean, we've had Corey Davis for 5 years, and he's never shined as a number one receiver. You know what I mean? Like,
I
think he would be a great number three.
Yeah,
and I think he's a faithful number two, but not a great.
Can you have too many weapons? Like,
no, not really.
You know,
look at the Chiefs.
Right.
Right, exactly. And, like, I believe Corey Davis is a good wide receiver. I hope he's on the team next year. But I don't know that he's, you know, ever going to be the A.J. Brown rookie season performer. You know what I mean? Like, A.J. Brown had a great rookie season, but I need to see him do that again, really, before I can – buy into
for sure. If there's a lot of receivers, then we should be able to get something pretty good value at a late pick.
But edge rusher, I think, super important too. Like, we need to get more pressure to the quarterback. But what if I had to just pick one position, it might be cornerback. And like, I don't know who you part ways with, because you've got Logan Ryan, you've got Malcolm Butler, and you got Adoree, who have all done really good, but like,
they're not Jalen Ramsey good.
Yes, exactly. Like, I need someone who can shut down Hopkins. I need someone who can, You know what I mean? Like, at least, like, go one-on-one so that we can blitz heavier for a play. You know? Because, like, I know he's going to get open, you know? Like, and I get that. But
for sure.
You want, like, a top five cornerback on your team.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we have, like, three top 15 cornerbacks. But not...
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's definitely... That's definitely a valid statement. You know, like, we have some really good cornerbacks, but none of them are just locked down, shut up, get out of my way, you're going to be stopped, just go sit on the bench kind of
cornerbacks. Right.
So what one position are you hoping to get for us? Is it a lineman or is it a quarterback?
No, it's I want the wide receiver in the first round. After that, every round needs to be a lineman. We went super risky the year before last. Our first pick was this offensive lineman who was supposed to be the next big thing. And he had more penalties last season than any other offensive lineman. Like, he's literally garbage. Like, we need to, like, I need to see some atonement for that sin. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to be cut, and then we need to draft, like, three linemen. That's what I want to see.
I found that offensive linemen, I think they take a long time to develop. Because I feel like just now Lawan is the stud that we needed him to be, and Jack Conklin is finally, you know, getting to a more consistent place, which I almost would rather have Conklin than Tannehill. That's how much I value the offensive line. But
no, I mean, they do take a while to develop unless they're like a stud. But part of that, too, is – usually not drafting to fill an immediate spot. You're drafting for the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At O-line. Like, so when this guy, his knees finally go out, we have a suitable guy to put in, you know?
No, that makes sense. But I watched the Titans for like 3 or 4 years have either like pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And, like, I'm kind of guessing. I don't remember this exactly. But year after year, we drafted linemen. And year after year, we had a bad line. Like, it just takes so much time to, like, find those linemen and everything. I hope that's not discouraging. And I hope y'all can do better than we did. Because, you know, we didn't have, like, our general manager was no John Elway. No John Robinson, for sure. You know, like, maybe it would be easier with a better general manager, but man, it just seemed like year after year we were getting a new offensive lineman who was bad.
Yeah, I think that's a risky run, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And maybe some of these, like, developed and were playing in the NFL elsewhere, but they weren't playing for the Titans. And I'm thankful that they weren't playing for the Titans.
You know you're in a bad spot when people are thankful you're not playing for their team.
Yeah. I'll tell you one person who I was really excited to get, and I was really excited to see him leave. And part of it, I was just excited to see him come for, like, the PR stuff, like you mentioned.
Right.
Now I can't think of his name, and I'm embarrassed. But the guy from The Blind Side?
Oh, yeah.
He came from the Ravens.
Or whatever.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Came and played for the Titans.
Wow.
And pretty much sucked it up, just honestly. Yeah. Like, he did not play well at all. And admits that he didn't play well at all. Hasn't yet admitted that he didn't play at all. According to one of the, like, commentators, like, we were discussing that game. We were playing the team he moved to after he was at the Titans. And the announcer said, was it? Okay. Yeah, we were playing the Eagles.
They may have won the Super Bowl after that. I don't remember.
Interesting. But the announcers were saying, Michael Orr, who formerly played for the Tennessee Titans, and talked about it. And then the other one was like, yeah, I don't know that Michael has really admitted that he didn't play well for the Titans last season. And like it was just kind of like a known fact he didn't play well. But I'm going to get off that soapbox. I think we've had a pretty good football portion of Faith Football Friends. We appreciate you listening to it. hope that you will let us know of the player to watch for the NFL Draft 2020 that's going to take place in Las Vegas later this in the month of April. And let us know via email. You can email us at faithfootballfriends@gmail.com and let us know which prospect you think will go underrated, which prospect you're most excited about seeing leave college to come to the NFL, and just let us know what you think. And again, our email is faithfootballfriends@gmail.com.
And if you include your name, we will read it on the podcast.
Yeah, include your name. Thanks for listening to the football portion of Faith Football Friends. A small correction. Michael Orr actually went and moved to the Panthers, not the Super Bowl winning Eagles. Just wanted to make that small correction. Thank you. All right. You can just add that.
You forgot to add that they were in the Super Bowl. Okay, it's fine.
Oh, the Panthers went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
They lost to the Broncos.
They lost to the Broncos.
But the Panthers did go on to the Super Bowl and lost to the Broncos. It was the time. It was the time that Cam Newton fell on the ground and started crying because Peyton Manning spanked him. And there was memes made about Cam Newton that you can still find on the internet. Thanks for listening to the football portion of Faith Football Friends. Okay.
That's not a cool at the end.
All right, welcome to Bring It to the Table of Faith Football Friends. We're excited that you've stuck around and have listened to the faith portion and the football portion. And honestly, this is my favorite part of the show because I just get to chit-chat with my friends and normally get a few good laughs in. So I'm very excited about this episode because if you remember, the last time we did an episode, Cole wasn't actually with us. And it's because Cole experienced this tragedy of I'm not really even 100% sure how to sum it up because we were confused the day we recorded.
Okay.
So, Cole, we're just going to hand it over to you. Tell us your tragic story.
Tell us why you weren't here last episode.
Okay, let me just begin with this. Sorry. I've always heard it said that women can't drive.
Okay.
Good. Forrest apparently. I'm glad you're starting with this.
Forrest apparently can't drive either because Chris offered to park his car. Anyways,
long story.
You don't say that to a man. A man
but I really
park
can't
his
drive,
own car,
so.
Chris. Okay.
Especially at night. Forrest literally
Anyways,
cannot drive at night.
Can't do it.
This woman, she's coming to our house from a nearby town to pick up a cage, a dog cage. We had puppies. We had the puppies in the cage. We no longer have the puppies. We got to get rid of the cage. So we're selling the cage. Well, she comes over and Lauren's talking to me. I'm taking the cage down. We're running late. And she says, this woman wants to know if you will back up her trailer for her. I'm like, what? I don't even think I responded. Anyways, next thing I know, this woman's driving to the back of the yard with this small trailer on the back. And it just got done storming really bad. It was right after the tornadoes that hit Middle Tennessee. So the ground's wet. Anyways, instead of pulling over to where the cage was, which was right beside the house, she goes about 30 yards in the other direction where the hill is. There's a hill. And it just rained.
And y'all are at the top of the hill, right?
Yeah, we're at the top of the hill where it's flat. And then there's a hill.
So it's
anyways.
Like a
yeah, I'm just minding my own business. You know, it's kind of one of those things you see, and you're like, okay, whatever. Keep screwing the bolts or whatever I'm doing. And anyways, I see her wheels start spinning out, and her car starts slowly kind of going down the hill. So she puts it in park and gets out, and she's like, and I feel bad for her, so I'm not really saying anything. Anyways. Sorry. Anyways. I'm still unscrewing my bolts. I don't know this woman. I'm not trying to. She's probably already embarrassed. Well, I look back over after hearing some yelling, and she's holding her trailer, which she took off the car, and it's going down the hill, bro. And so it's like
like
she's
dragging her?
Yeah, it's like dragging her, like not on the ground, but she's having to take steps to go with it. And so it's going down the hill, and then finally she lets it go, and it rolls all the way down the hill. It's like, you know, doing 180s or whatever, 360s. So I had to go down there, grab the trailer. We're all pulling the trailer up this hill. I'm like, oh my goodness, I ain't going to make the podcast. What is going on? I'm going to be here all night with this. And so then we finally push her car to get it out. And as we're pushing it, it's in sewage. We find out it's in sewage. This was a longer time than I'm making it out to be. But we're pushing her through sewage. Me and Lauren made a great memory. I got my dirty Crocs on that I wear around the house.
You're wearing Crocs?
Yeah, I was wearing Crocs. Chris used to always wear Crocs. Anyways, they get sewage all over them, dude. Lauren's shoes were ruined. We're having to push this lady down through the yard, but we made a good memory. But that's why I was late. It was just one of those things, like, what are the chances? You don't see this every day. Long story short, women cannot drive.
Wow. Well,
I'm just kidding. Wow. Please don't hurt me.
Glad you can tell that there. Funny story as offensively as possible.
Women do not be mad at me. Some women can't drive, just like Forrest can't drive. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
From Forrest and I's perspective, it went something like this. Hey, guys, I'm going to be late to the podcast. This woman's stuck in my yard. And then we, like, send a text to Cole that's like, hey, man, are you coming? And he goes, no, I don't think I'm going to make it. Her trailer just rolled down a hill. It was like, what in the world is going on?
Sounded made up.
Right.
Like, we were running back and forth, you know, picking up the cage and taking it to her trailer, which was moved in the front yard. And every time me and Lauren got a chance away from this woman, we were just like looking at each other like, what in the world? Like, we're laughing.
Did she ever get the cage?
Yeah, she got it. She did.
Is your trailer still on your property, or did you push it off?
No. We had to pull it up the hill. And
through septic.
I didn't understand why Crocs have back straps. You know what I'm talking about? The Crocs have the straps. I never understood until I was pulling that trailer up the hill. And
so
that's
you can
when
drag a trailer through sewers. That's why the back straps there.
Yeah. When it's go time, you put the straps on, baby.
Oh, man. That's awesome. And tragic all at the same time. Like, does she know that it was sewage?
Yeah. She was the one that was like, oh, this is sewage. I know what this is. And, like, you know, she was scared and everything.
Wow.
Would push her out of sewage.
And how did she find out about this dog cage?
Lauren put it on LSN to sell.
On what?
LSN. LocalSalesNetwork.com or org.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like the most popular website. Next selling stuff.
Chris and I have never heard of it.
You've never
heard of eBay.
L-S-N.
We've heard of Craigslist. We've heard of Facebook Marketplace. We've heard of Let Go. We've never heard of LSN.
But here's what got me. It is the most popular website. Like, any stop.
I know.
It's not even the most popular website in its own category. It's definitely not the most popular website in the world.
www.lsn.com. I googled how popular is LSN. Let's see if I can find anything. Anyways.
Well, 2 out of 3 people don't know about it. That's one indication.
Dude, I've never met anybody in my life who doesn't know what LSN is. And now there's 2 people in this one podcast.
Maybe it's a... Where are you from? Smithville? Cookville?
Smithville.
Maybe it's a Smithville thing.
No, that's possible. Like, if it's local sales network, like, it may be that local, you know?
Well, no, because if you type in LSN, it's the first thing to pop up.
But it's a pretty specific acronym.
Okay.
Just saying, it's possible. I don't
know. Not to be confused with LSN the band.
Is that really a band?
No.
Okay. Huh. Wow. Learning something new every day. Maybe we'll make a Facebook poll.
Have you ever heard of LSN? That's the new poll.
Yeah.
Sounds like a drug, doesn't it? LSN.
Do you believe that LSN is the most popular website in the world?
No.
Overwhelmingly no. Absolutely not. Not even in the slightest. That's awesome.
Have y'all had anything crazy like that happen recently that just blew your mind?
No, I can't say that I have. Like, not even in the least, like, bit. Nothing like that has ever happened to me in my entire life, actually. Like,
really?
That's a pretty, yeah, that's a pretty unique situation. Like, just think about all the things that you went through.
I've got some good ones. We'll share them in a future episode.
I don't know. I know.
I've never lived on a hill.
I've never lived on a hill either. Well,
Holler? Never lived in the holler?
Okay, no. So. Our last poll, I was just looking at it. Our last poll was, which is better, Mountain Dew or any Coca-Cola product? But it only got 6 votes, which is a little embarrassing.
Who won?
But it was 50-50.
Who? Oh, man.
Nobody shared it. None of us shared it.
It has 2 shares. It's not a win for you.
It kind of is.
Cole Parsley shared it twice, actually.
What a weirdo.
I was really wanting to win.
you got 2 of his friends to vote in it.
2 of my Cole, different account. Me and Lauren voted.
Cole, do you know Jeffrey Hunter?
I do.
Yeah. See, he's one of the people that voted. And Will Graham is also.
I know Will Graham.
I know you know him. So.
Wow. Exposing people.
Will was on the podcast. So.
Is that the guy who
has a
crush on Drew Brees?
That's Alex Hayes.
Oh, it's Alex.
Will is the guy that recorded with us one day.
But you know Alex Hayes because Alex Hayes was in my wedding.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Cole, do you know Gage Brown?
Yeah, that's my brother.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You got a conspiracy, don't you?
No, I'm just telling you. He voted no. Gage Brown voted Coca-Cola products.
I can see that, man. We used to, growing up, we'd be gaming to like 2 a.m. in middle school playing Call of Duty. And I just always remember him, man, always walking past my room and get a Coca-Cola. He loves Coca-Cola.
Do you know Shauna Grandstaff?
That is my sister.
She also voted.
Okay, listen, all this tells me is y'all need to step it up. Because my people are participating in the podcast. Ain't participating.
Here's the thing, though.
What?
Your entire family betrayed you. That's the thing.
No, they did.
No, that is the thing. Did. That tells you how lost you are when it comes to soft drink. Also, note this. The only other 2 people that voted were Forrest, who voted Coca-Cola products. And you, who voted for Mountain Dew products, which means I didn't vote.
Oh, gosh. So, it's too late. No, it's too late. Don't add your 2 cents in now.
But everybody knows my 2 cents.
No, dude.
Yes, everybody knows. Everybody knows.
No, that's cheating.
Coca-Cola. That's cheating. Everyone knows I would have voted Coca-Cola. I was the reason this debate got started. So I'm pretty sure Coca-Cola actually won. I just failed to vote, even though I'm the one that created the poll. So, I really dropped the ball there.
Paul's family betrayed him, but Chris betrayed himself.
Yes, I did.
Forrest. It's
pretty tragic.
How are you doing on your dieting?
Completely wrecked.
Sounds about right. It's March. So is everyone else.
Yeah.
Are you still going to the gym?
No. Been to the gym once.
Oh, goodness.
Are you still paying for the gym?
Yeah, of course.
That's how they get you, man.
Oh, absolutely. That's how they get you. No, but I've been sick a lot, which is, I know that's kind of a lame excuse, but,
I mean, that's a great excuse.
I've had 3 colds. I've had 3 colds since the new year. which is a lot for me.
Oh, yeah. Are you stressed? Are you, like, got a lot of deadlines? That might be why. No?
No, I think I'm allergic to
cats.
My own pets.
The way you talk to your animals, you probably are.
The karma is they make me sick.
Dr. Cole over here explaining why Forrest is sick. I am doing okay-ish on my New Year's resolutions, but not like I wanted. Like, I was going to read more. Yeah, I haven't done that at all.
Mine was something like lose 20 pounds in so-and-so weeks. Yeah, I don't know how that's going. I just now got back on the train. I'm doing no sugar till tomorrow. So since Sunday, I haven't had sugar. And then I'm going to redo it. But next I just wanted to see.
Diet.
No. It was a week. It was 5 days. I just wanted to see how long I could go without sugar, if I could do it. And I feel great. I don't even have sugar cravings. So.
It started Sunday, and it's going to end tomorrow, and it was a five-day thing?
It's today, Thursday, or Friday.
Today's Friday.
Yeah, so it ends Saturday. Yeah.
But that's a seven-day thing, though, right?
That's a six-day thing. From six Sunday days. To Saturday?
Well, no, because I ate sugar Sunday. So Monday.
Oh, okay. So six-day. Okay.
There cool. we go.
Something.
Yeah. I'm glad we could get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, that was so important.
Oh, man. All right, well, this happened to me today, and it pretty much thrilled my soul. I went to Chick-fil-A for breakfast, and I was at the counter ordering because if there's not a line, I like to interact with people, try to brighten their day a little bit, because even though the Chick-fil-A app is all sufficient and amazing. And I noticed that Chick-fil-A serves diet caffeine-free Coke.
Wow.
And I was literally thrilled. Like, I brought in with me a caffeine-free Coke Zero. I had that in my backpack. I was going to order a cup of ice and add it myself.
I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah, I think it's relatively new. Like, I've seen it. I just found it in Publix. I actually found it in the store that replaced Big Star in Henderson, Tennessee.
Nice.
So surely it's at most of your grocery stores. But I got...
Surely. If it's at this hole in the wall in the armpit of America, it'll be at your local grocery store.
Hey, man, I love the town of Henderson. I don't know why every small town in Tennessee this man hates on. Forrest, man.
I know, man.
Struggle with that.
Listen, listen. Here's my thing with that.
Aspartame. Okay, we get it.
Yes, yes. Let's say there's the holy trinity of things that are bad for you. You got sugar/calories, caffeine, and then aspartame.
Wait, calories are bad for you?
Well, that's why people don't normally want to drink Cokes. That's what I'm saying. Okay, they want the diet. You are choosing the one thing that is worse than both of those. Aspartame.
Wait, hold on.
He's saying aspartame is worse than caffeine or just sugar/calories.
Okay.
A cockroach will not eat it. If you pour it for us, act like you're giving your dogs a treat. I know you don't do that. But pour it on the ground for your dogs. They will not drink it. They will not drink it.
Would they drink normal Coke?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
I don't think you should give your dog either.
I don't
probably
either.
Probably not.
Yeah, I would avoid giving your dogs any Coke. Because while Forrest may abuse his dogs verbally, Cole electrocutes his. So,
what a conclusion that is.
I know.
I don't think we ever published that episode.
Oh.
So the listeners don't even know what you're referring to.
What?
That's awkward.
Why didn't we publish that episode?
And we weren't going to tell Cole we didn't publish it.
But I had to.
No, yeah.
It looks like we doubled up. So we were one behind, and then you guys filmed the one with Will, and we posted that one first. We wanted to get it out.
Okay, well, we can for the YouTube channel, we can clip that part and put it up there if it's still available.
Dude, that's true. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there was a tragic situation where Cole accidentally put his dog in a situation where he got electrocuted for a long time, but. We appreciate it.
If you want to hear more about that, head over to the YouTube channel, Faith Football Friends on
but
YouTube.
But don't call animal services until you go to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it sounds.
It was pretty bad. I mean, there was diarrhea. So
it was bad nonetheless, but it was an accident. Cole's a good guy. It's an honor to record this podcast with Forrest and Cole each week. We hope that you enjoy listening to it. We hope that you will continue to listen to it, that you'll give us a positive review, that you'll email us and give us some feedback, or message us on Facebook, give us some feedback on that. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we hope that y'all have a blessed week, and we look forward to recording another episode for you next week. Thanks for listening to Faith Football Friends.